You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 7:08 in the morning. It's a big, big day here at the Wake Up Tucson show. We're celebrating Ed Alexander's induction into the Tucson Musicians Hall of Fame. So,
wow.
Virtual ceremony this Saturday night. You can watch it online at Tucson Musician something.
Is that when they put you in this, like, it's not a microwave, it's an induction thing? Is that what this is? Okay.
It's an induction, one of those.
Okay.
A convection.
Oh, that's a convention. I'm not going in the induction thing yet.
Okay. So they flew in Chuck George to do the presentation. That's a inside joke that only 12 of you got.
That's
but
okay.
It was worth it. I'll explain it to the Bedoya crew at the break. 7:08 in the morning, and we have Mario's here, and of course, the infamous and famous Dr. Bedoya. How you doing, sir?
Buenos dias. Waking up.
Well, things seem to, hopefully, I know you right now you have the mission office is open for dedicated dental.
Yes.
And it sounds like things are busy, correct?
Very, very busy.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Are we seeing a lot of that delayed care kind of stuff where they stayed away for a while?
Absolutely, and that's what's keeping us so busy.
Right.
Poor patients, their teeth are falling apart, literally, and they're overcoming their fear
right.
of the COVID in response to the pain and the cosmetics that they're suffering from not seeking dental care. So
we have that thing where they're sitting in their house. They might be in pain, but they are living a little bit of a fear factor here, and they're making that decision whether or not.
Yes.
That's a sad place to be.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people out there going through that.
Sure.
And still some offices are very limited as to what procedures they do. I've had patients call saying, don't go to the urgent care, the emergency room. They're not going to do anything. You have to seek dental care. I had one lady on Monday that was crying in pain. And luckily she knew my wife. And we had, of course, a really, really busy day. And she told me about her and asked me, is there any way you can get her in? I mean, she's literally in tears from a upper right area that she doesn't know even what tooth it is.
Right.
So we snuck her in, and turned out she was having a failing root canal where the root had fractured.
Right.
And became infected, and we had her extracted. It was a surgical extraction. And like I told her, most general practitioners do not handle these type of extractions because the tooth is brittle. It's close to the sinus. It has to be surgically removed. We have to section each root separately and bring it out with hopefully not traumatizing any more tissue or the sinus than we have to.
And you've been always, I think, you've been so great at sneaking people in between a busy schedule.
Yes. And we have to monitor that so well because, it's advantageous for the patient that has a schedule that had it for several weeks.
Right.
To then cause them delays. But like I tell them, I hope you understand that there's this emergency. And most of them are understanding. They say, yeah, go ahead. I mean, you treated me before, and it was a walk-in emergency, and you took care of me. So that's fine. I understand that. Or if they need to, to leave for another appointment, then we reschedule them.
Sure.
But most are very understanding, especially since they've been working with me for 45 years.
That's the thing. Now, do the people who work for you who take care of the calendar and schedule, do they get driven crazy by this sometimes?
Oh, yes. They come to me all the time. Says, this patient really needs to get in. They're going out of town, and then, one of their crowns came off. And
sure.
Well, let me look at my schedule and see where we can sneak them in.
That's awesome.
Even if it's at lunchtime. At noon, like someone I know.
No, you always, it's amazing. How those ladies work to get people in. I really do. And that you work, because my next appointment is like 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. I mean, this guy doesn't go home until it's done. And so
right before happy hour.
Through lunch, through everything.
I know.
We have it in the office. Right?
Well, good for you. As you should. But I mean, no. Over and above. That's why he's so well loved. I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ed. Thank
you. If you want to make an appointment with Dr. B, dedicateddental.net, and of course, 573-1900 to get in to see the doc. So last time I saw you, you were only doing emergency stuff.
Yes.
As part of this, and you said you're at home a little bit more cooking and making your wife happy. Is this true?
Well, not cooking, but I call it driving Miss Daisy. On Tuesdays I'm off. And my wife Marty said I loves it because she has errands, you know, to run, and she loves a chauffeur.
Ah.
So I chauffeur her here and there, and
look at
so
you.
We coined that driving Miss Daisy. Did you see the movie?
I remember it well.
Okay, well, that's who I am on Tuesdays.
There's nothing wrong with being the Morgan Freeman character.
No,
you guys have the same temperament.
Oh, thank you.
put that little cap on and gloves, and there he goes. Yeah.
Yes.
What's the number one thing that people are coming in with you right now, as we've had this delay in care and things like, what's the number one thing?
Decay into the nerve. Under bridges, under crowns, to the degree where they come off, you know, a lot of those teeth, Chris, are already dead because the decay has penetrated into the nerve tissue, the pulp, and actually killed the tissue.
Ugh.
So they have no feeling from hot or cold, but as that infection increases, the bacteria continue to go up there, they develop an abscess, actually, you know, pus in the socket. In the bone. And when it gets to that stage, oh, they come in swollen. They can't. I had one lady that couldn't touch the tooth with her tongue. It was so sensitive.
Shut
pains through the whole side of her face. So,
well, if you're someone looking for the best dentist in Tucson, or you have been one of those people who have been delaying your care, which we know there are a lot of you out there, you need to go set up an appointment with the dedicated dental team, 573-1900. dedicateddental.net. Any restaurants on the Bedoya radar I should know about?
Well, you've went to a few, and of course the spacing is, I like it. It's nice. But we were at Olive Garden last night, and it was great. The food was fantastic, and the environment, because it's not as crowded.
Right.
Olive Garden at Spectrum on Irvington.
Okay.
Usually you go there, and I mean, it's packed, it's full, it's buzzing.
Right.
And now with the spacing, it's a lot more comfortable.
Okay.
So to some degree, that is.
It's a mixed blessing, right? We would like them to have more people to make money so all these businesses stay in business. But at the same time, you're right.
Yes.
It's nice not having to hit with three people sitting on your lap that you don't know.
Exactly.
So, all right. Dr. Bedoya, he's the man. Keep doing the great work as always. We love working
Thank
with you guys.
Chris.
Take care. You're doing a great job with Ed.
Yes.
You know.
I'm still talking, not whistling when I talk. So this is so far so
Did
good.
You show him the picture?
Oh, let me get him. Okay. Let me find it again. So you know what I used to look like? That's not the one. This one. This is the teeth picture. See? All right. Those were
that's
young
actually
teeth.
You. Huh?
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I'm an old guy now, but you keep me looking good.
Hey, Ed, Mario had a good observation. You look like Don Johnson a little bit right there.
Well, hey.
Yeah, great smile.
I even have the Hawaiian, the Don. Oh, I thought I had the Don Johnson shirt on that one.
Well, it's better to be Don Johnson than if someone said you look like Marty Feldman or something like that. So
let me see.
Very handsome buck, even now in your Martin Scorsese days.
Thank you.
So.
Okay.
You having computer problems? That's all right. All right.
It's okay.
Dr. Bedoya, God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing, my friend.
We will.
Dr. Bedoya, dedicated dental service, dedicateddental.net, 573-1900. Go see this man. If you're looking for a new dentist, you've been holding off on your care, go see him yesterday. So, wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Christy Simone and you and Ed Alexander. Love hanging out with Dr. Bedoya. He's the man. Let's get talking real quick. I want to get talking about the wall of shame at Pima County. You know something? Remember when it first happened, when they were first talking about it and voting on it and whatever, and we said, this is really a bad idea. It's a terrible idea.
The government. So think about a wall to shame people.
So I think they made citizens. I think they made themselves feel better by saying, oh, remember they tried to okay, so the chamber and the restaurant guys and girls show up to this meeting on a Friday where they said, "Hey, we want this to be educational. If people aren't doing it, we're giving them some corrective education. We're not, you know," and the word fines never showed up in the discussion, right? And then they got screwed over by Valadez and Huckleberry, and on the following agenda, 3 hours later, it said, "Oh, there's fines." And they're like, "What? We can't have fines." And remember, they all went to the Board of Soups, and we were so impressed that these restaurant owners were like, "Hey, what the hell are you doing?" So I think the county, after they got, quote, rid of the original fines, made themselves feel better by saying, "Well, we'll have a wall of shame where neighbor rats out on neighbor." And you know what happened? I was talking to a business owner today about this morning. You know something? They were better off having the fines than they would be having the wall of shame. Because at least you know how much the fine is, right? You have someone from the county, like maybe one person who's your health inspector, because you know what the wall of shame does? It literally lets people smear you in public and cost you more money than probably the fine. That's the word. I think if I went back now that I've seen, remember, Pima County does everything in a petty, crappy way. Right? That's Chuck Huckleberry's manner. Petty and crappy. Okay? So this is where you're at. Okay? We would have been better off saying, oh, there's a $100 fine.
Right.
If a inspector, than having people obliterate you on their wall of shame and creating more fear for people that's maybe not even proven or whatever.
Personal and professional attacks.
We don't know who's doing these half the times. Remember when people say, when you look at Yelp reviews, right? And you say, oh, the problem with the Yelp review, of course, sometimes, and you have to read a bunch. You have to triangulate a little bit. You have to see, you know, someone who's done 500 reviews is different than someone that you see they've only done one or two reviews in their life, okay? Sometimes you'll see the one that's just the one review, which is the bad review. Well, you know something? When you see the one review that's the bad review on Yelp or one of these things or TripAdvisor is better, but Yelp is... it's probably an ex-employee that they fired or the dude's ex-girlfriend or something. Well, that's what's happening at PMA. The moment I saw the lady crying about Viva Coffee and part of her complaint was he had a back the blue sticker on his or a sign on his door and said spouting Republican rhetoric. Well, this is not a health site. This is a smearing site. I can't believe the restaurant owners haven't sued the crap out of the county for enabling people to smear you on the taxpayer dollar. How about that?
They're afraid of retribution by Chuck in the county. That's the problem.
I understand, but that's the thing, right? But someone should be you want to have a smearing libel, whatever you want to call it. The county is using your taxpayer dollars to let people smear other people on a public website. So I'm going to tell you something. If you are someone who leads a business group and you have any sort of intellectual honesty, chutzpah, and integrity, you would be right now knocking on Chuck's door and all the three Democrats' supervisors saying the wall of shame needs to go. It's sick. It's the sickest thing you'll ever see. These Karens, as we like to call them, are out of control. And it's an election year. So if there's something that you see, one of these crazy Karens who lean left, and you go to a restaurant that maybe one of the customers didn't have their mask on walking from the toilet to whatever, but you can take it off while you're sitting at a table. It's stupid. Okay. But you have a back the blue, or you might have a vote for Steve Christie sign in your office, in your window. Well, all of a sudden, now they're hitting back on you. And they can use the Pima County taxpayer-supported smear and shame website. You know, again, no one, well, publicly likes, and they shouldn't like, even privately. Remember we always just kid about like in the Cold War, and we talk about East Germany or Czechoslovakia, and you'd have neighbors ratting out on neighbors, right? And they go, oh, I think Ed Alexander's doing this.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing, but it's digital now. It's amazing. So any of you, I forgot the lady who runs the Hispanic Chamber because I never see her. I don't even know she exists half the time. She's very nice. I met her once, okay? But insert Hispanic Chamber of Commerce name here. Amber Smith, Ted Maxwell, whoever's out there. If you're not, the folks at the Marana Chamber, if you're not coming out and saying Chuck Huckleberry and the 3Ds need to get rid of the shaming website, and the Restaurant Association, you are doing your members an amazing disservice. You are enabling people to come smear them without proof. You don't get to confront your accuser. It's un-American as hell. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. Hey, Ed. I know we're looking for Eric, but let's get that Klasik ad up. So, friend of the show, Anna Clark, she's very active in LD11. She was Nolan Reedhead's campaign manager. She's actually working with Daniel Wood on his campaign against Raul Grijalva. And he's going to be calling in tomorrow from D.C. They're in D.C. for some meetings. And she ran into, right from the beginning, she ran into Kim and posted a picture of him and Kim because she was there for similar reasons. And so Kim came on the radar at the summer before the RNC. She had this great ad about Baltimore, right, and how it's fallen apart. Right?
So this is the lady with the red shoes. Yes.
Correct. Red dress, red shoes. She looks like she's probably late 20s, early 30s, African-American young lady, and she's got her crap together.
Mm-hmm.
So she has this next one called The Plan, okay? It's only about 2-3 minutes. But what I want you to do, here is our mental exercise. What I want you to do is I want you to substitute the word Baltimore with either Tucson or Pima County.
Mm.
Okay, let's go with Tucson. We'll substitute it with Tucson. And then, when you think of Democrats, you don't have to substitute that. Just think of, the Grijalva Ekstrom crew, as we like to say here in Tucson. And then what I want you to do is listen to what she says about infrastructure, education, and you tell me if there's, I'm not saying it's a dead exact, but there are lots of similarities. So remember, we want you to substitute the word Baltimore in your brain with the word Tucson. All right?
Yep.
Let's go.
Do you care about Black lives? I do.
Oh, please stop one more time. I know it. I blew it. You also wonder, because of the Grijalvas keep saying they're the defenders of Hispanic people in this town, I want you to replace Black lives with Black with the word Hispanic, okay? Or working poor. You can do that too, all right? Sorry, Kim.
I do. And unlike the people that currently run Baltimore, I actually have a plan to make life better for Black people here. Walk with me. I want you to see this.
So she's walking through the horrible parts of Baltimore right now.
Boarded up ghetto, yeah.
Baltimore Lives Matter, it says.
This is Baltimore, the real Baltimore. This city was once among the most prosperous, populated, and powerful cities in America. So what happened? Our leaders abandoned us and Baltimore fell into ruin. But it doesn't have to be this way. None of this has to be this way. A broken Baltimore does not have to be our future. And that's why I'm running for Congress, because I see the city differently.
A broken Baltimore does not have to be our future.
I walk the streets of Baltimore and see what could be. I want you to see what I see. I see Baltimore that picks up trash.
There
are piles of garbage all around Baltimore. It makes life unsafe for our families. I'll work with city leaders to get Baltimore's Solid Waste Bureau the resources it needs to take out the trash.
Our streets should be a reflection of our leaders. Clean, not dirty.
What?
Much of our trash gathers in abandoned homes. There are over 17,000 abandoned buildings in Baltimore. They are a scar on the face of our city.
I will support tax credits and incentive programs to give residents a chance to buy and rehabilitate these homes.
Regentrification.
Everyone deserves a safe
Road,
community and a
Street.
Chance at home ownership. Let's put the charm back in Charm City.
Who will live in these homes? The newly employed constituents of Baltimore City. This district needs more jobs. The best way to get them is by having businesses invest in our community. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act gives federal tax incentive to drive private investment into opportunity zones just like Baltimore. Who will work in all of these new jobs if we don't have an educated workforce? 9 out of 10 black boys in Baltimore are not reading at grade level. Over a dozen high schools in Baltimore have zero, yes, zero, students proficient in math. This is a tragedy. We can end the school-to-prison pipeline with school choice, providing parents with options to escape schools that do not serve our children.
Let's leave Baltimore better for our kids. Isn't that the point? That's my vision for Baltimore. The corrupt leaders hate it. They attack me for taking a stand, for wanting better for our people, our children, our communities. But I'm not the only one who wants better.
10s of millions of you have shared the struggle of black people in Baltimore. You lifted our voices. You cared about our black lives more than our own Democrat leaders. They have done nothing for us. Now they can't hide. It's time for change. We are that change.
Kim Klasick, and I'm running for Congress because I actually care about black lives.
So there's all these women
all
in red dresses
matter.
Walking
Our
behind
Our communities
her.
Matter. We matter.
Including a lady who's on crutches.
Doesn't have to
crutches.
Vote Democrat.
So I'm telling you, man, great ad. So think about this. She talks about infrastructure falling apart, garbage, right? And how these people say, these leaders say, we're going to take care of all the black people, and they keep making it worse and worse for them. Does that sound like somewhere? Just...
Aye.
All right. So then she talks about, in this one, she talks about reading proficiencies in school, right? And she says 9 out of 10 young black boys in like elementary school have zero proficiency in reading.
Zero.
It's like zero. And that, oh, sorry. They don't hit their proficiency. And then zero schools. There's like a whole school that has zero proficiency in math. Well, that sounds like TUSD. That's the Adelita Grijalva Crystal Foster crew, right?
Yeah.
So this ad I love, and in relation, it's almost like
her name again,
Kim Klasick, K-L-A-C-I-K. Okay, but literally you could do this commercial for Tucson.
Mm-hmm. Same picture.
So instead of walking whatever, you just walk down 22nd or 29th.
And the weeds and the junk and the closed up buildings and the dead corners and people, you know, going through dumpsters and
actually, there's nothing going on 4th Avenue. You could film this commercial on 4th Avenue. You don't even have to ask to close down the road on 4th Avenue. There's nothing on 4th Avenue right now. So anyway, Kim Klasick, love the commercial. I just sat there and said, you know something? If I could replace Baltimore with the word Tucson and the word black with the word Hispanic, you got it, the whole thing in a nutshell. 790-2040 is the phone number. There are three Republicans running for Corporation Commission, and one of those is Eric Sloan, who's given it another shot. He tried a couple of years ago. Good morning to Eric Sloan on line one. Eric, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on your show.
Thanks for being here today. Talk about why it's important to get Republicans on the Corporation Commission. What could happen? If it doesn't
sure.
happen.
So here's the big thing that I think your listeners really want to know is that You know, why is Corporation Commission important to Arizona? Right now, there are four Republicans serving on that commission. There's one Democrat serving. You know, if we want to fight against some of these Green New Deal policies that we voted against here in Arizona, you know, the Corporation Commission is going to be the battleground for that fight. One of the things I've been talking about is we need lower rates. We need consumer protections, and we don't need a fair deal in Arizona. Yeah, we don't need a Green New Deal. We need a fair deal. And the fact that we're not getting a fair deal is a big problem right now. And so that's the reason why I decided to run for the Corporation Commission 2 years ago. I thought we were getting a bad deal then, and I think we're getting a worse deal now.
So what about Eric Sloan makes him a good choice for Arizona Corporation Commission? Why should folks vote for you personally?
Sure. Well, I think the number one reason why folks should vote for me is because, you know, I'm a husband and a father and a small business owner here in Arizona, not just in one place, but in multiple places in Arizona. I have businesses in Scottsdale and Prescott and Tempe. And, you know, our utility costs have gone up pretty significantly. One of the reasons I decided to run in 2018 was because my energy costs have gone up 36% year over year. One of the things that we're seeing in the middle of this COVID-19 crisis, as we've been told to stay home, you know, my kitchen table has become my office. It's become my daughter's schoolhouse. My electricity cost has gone up exponentially. And one of the reasons for that is because of peak rates. Peak rates are what happen in the middle of the day on Monday through Friday between 3 o'clock and 8 o'clock, where your electricity basically has a 140% increase in cost. And those have resulted in record profits for the utilities, and they've resulted in record bills for Arizonans, and I think that's wrong.
So for you, if you get elected, Eric, what's the first thing you would want to propose that the Arizona Corporation Commission gets better?
Well, the first thing I'd like to propose is on the affordability side of things. I think that taking on the peak rates and looking at some of these rate structures, you know, one of the things that is prevalent in with all the utilities in Arizona is there's no transparency in the billing. And what I mean by that is that you get your bill and you've got 47 line items on your bill and you don't know what any of it is. We really need to work on simplifying billing. And, you know, that would be one of the main things that we could do to see what people are paying for and how they're paying for it. Because I think right now what's happening is a lot of people don't understand why their electricity rates are they continue to go up. And We need some clarity on that.
Do you think the SRPs and TEPs of the world are overcharging for their electricity right now?
I think that peak rates should have been suspended in March when we knew that we were going to have stay-at-home orders. And because of those stay-at-home orders, people have seen massive increases in their electrical bills. I think that clarity in billing will help folks understand what they're paying for. And I also think that, you know, the big thing right now is they're if you have an issue with your electrical company, you're kind of stuck. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had to call TEP or call SRP or APS. SRP actually is not regulated under the commission, but, you know, it's very tough working with these companies to get customer service.
Well, when you're the only game in town, you can take that attitude.
I mean, that's part of the problem. And the commission really has abdicated its responsibility. The commission is supposed to be that place where people can call and try to get some resolution to their issues. But the commission has basically sidestepped that responsibility. And one of the things that I'm talking about is, you know, when we're talking about consumer protections, it's talking about customer service. You know, we have utilities in the state that had the lowest rating on customer service. Why has the commission not stepped in and done something about that? Those are some of the things that I really want to address when I get to the commission.
I assume SRP and TEP's PACs have not donated to Eric Sloan for Corporation Commissioner?
No, I'm a clean elections candidate. No one is donating to my campaign other than individual Arizonans. In fact, we've wrapped up that portion of the campaign. We wrapped it up in the primary. I was successful in getting over 2,000 individual Arizonans to give me $5, which is a lot more difficult than it sounds.
No, it's way difficult.
It's very difficult to do. We've had a really great campaign. We got over 516,000 votes statewide. I was the top person receiving votes in the primary election statewide. And I think we've got a good base to build on, and we're just moving forward. But really, it comes back to the fact that, you know, I'm like in the last campaign, you know, I'm not trying to do anything extraordinary. I'm just trying to get a fair deal for everybody, because I don't feel like I'm getting a fair deal.
Eric, how do people find out more about your campaign, your issues, and is there an opportunity that you might be in Southern Arizona soon?
I hope so. I hope that. I mean, please, let's figure something out and get me down there, because, I mean, one of the problems with this campaign, you know, I was down in Tucson so much, people thought I lived there in the last campaign. With all this COVID stuff going on, it's been a hard time trying to find events to get to. So I'd love to come to Tucson and Pima County and Cochise County. We just got to get some events on the calendar for that. But if you could go to ericsloan.com, ericsloan.com is the best way to get a hold of me. It's the best way to find out more about me. I'm also on Facebook. You can follow me there at Sloan for AZ. And that would be the best way to get a hold of me, ericsloan.com.
All right, Eric, it was good catching up with you. Good luck in the campaign, and maybe we'll hopefully see you in Tucson in the next few weeks.
I hope so, brother. God bless you. Have a great day.
All right, that's Eric Sloan. He is running for Arizona Corporation Commission. Eric Sloan. I forgot the website already. Ah, bad Chris. Eric, you still there? No, he's gone. All right, I'll get it before it's all over. I had a little senior moment. Now that Tucson's becoming a senior community.
There, you can do that. You're starting to relate, aren't you? There you go.
We're just a few minutes away from our Tucson Musicians Hall of Fame Hour.
We're setting up our instruments right now.
Wow.
Here we go.
I see George Howard bouncing around.
He's always bouncing around. Dude's up. Got a beat, built-in beat.
Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right.
It's Ray's birthday today.
Hey, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Coming up right at the top of the hour, we're going to start our Tucson Musicians Hall of Fame Hour. We're going to be sitting in with me as the great George Howard, starting in right after the top of the hour. Then we'll bring in Bob Zucker, and then Crystal Stark, and then a young upstart named Matt Alexander.
Young guy. Old man. I told you. You get old, they give you stuff. So here we go. We're going to do it today, man. I'll take it. Thank you.
All right, real quick, one last piece of politics before we get into a fun hour of music. This is from Holly Otterbrin and Megan Casella from Politico.com. And a big thing in the 16 election was, of course, is how did the some of the union votes break away from Democrats and then go with Trump, which for a lot of Democrats was, let's just say, mildly disappointing. Mayor Joe Biden is pitching himself as the union man, son of Scranton. Well, what's happening is labor leaders have worked for months to try to sell their members to Biden, hoping to avoid a repeat of 16. So here's an interesting quote. Mike Nisley, he's the executive secretary treasurer with the Ohio State Building and Construction Trades Council, basically says we have not moved the needle here. Even after we put all their information out there, it just doesn't make a difference. Among members of North America's Building Trades Union, there's a dead heat in six swing states, with Biden receiving 48% and Trump receiving 47% in an internal poll shared with Politico by the Building Trades Union. James Williams, vice president of the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, whose survey, I can't believe they used the word, painted a similar picture. It is the Union of Painters. He has a very solid foundation with our members. They connect with his messaging and a lot of fear-mongering along the way when he was first elected with. And actually, it's funny. He actually kind of bangs on his own members for buying into Trump. And I was like, well, that'll help you in your next union election, sir. Trump's support in some unions could provide an opening for him in the Midwest, particularly in key Rust Belt states that powered his victory in 16, being Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, where union voters have a sizable impact. Roughly one in six voters nationwide is either a union member or comes from a union household. And then these voters, usually a bedrock of Democrat support, shifted away from the party in 2016. Hillary Clinton won union voters by less than half as much as President Obama did 4 years earlier. And that swing alone may have been enough to account for her losses in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. I think the other thing they got in trouble with was with the Affordable Care Act, and the unions got hit pretty hard in that. So, again, it's something where it's another dynamic to watch for as we move closer to November 3rd. All right, done with politics. We're going to get into some fun. We have our friends from the Tucson Musicians Hall of Fame here. The great George Howard's here. We have Bob Zucker. We have Crystal Stark and a young Goomba from the streets of Pennsylvania, Allentown, Ed Alexander.
Let's rock this place.
So here we go. Ed, spin us away. Top of the hour news. We're getting into music with the Tucson Musicians Hall of Fame. Coming up next.